state briefs read by an automated voice. Beacon Falls Project Siting Draft Released. The Siting Council last week issued a 16-page draft fact-finding report on the 63.3 megawatts fuel cell power plant Beacon Falls Energy Park. The council is expected to rule early next year on whether the plant can be built on a former sand and gravel pit. If approved, construction of the plant would start next May, said William Corvo, president of CT Energy and Technology, a Middletown company that will own the facility once it is completed. The first phase could be done by July 2017, with completion by the end of 2019. The plant will use 11.1 million cubic feet of natural gas a day for fuel and 300,000 gallons of water per day for fuel processing, according to the report. Fuel Cell Energy, of Danbury, will manufacture the 21 fuel cells in the project, making it the world's largest fuel cell plant. More, New Haven Register. Delaware E. Bloom Energy subsidy to be carved out on Delmarva bills. Delmarva Power and Light customers will begin seeing how much of their monthly bill goes to subsidize Bloom Energy under an order approved this month by the Public Service Commission. In 2011, Delaware enlisted the California fuel cell manufacturer to build a factory in Newark by offering it $16.5 million in state funds and a 21-year subsidy from Delmarva, which buys energy from the fuel cells to meet its renewable power goals. Bloom promised to hire 900 workers by 2017. By September 30, it had employed 224. Bloom might have to return some of the $12 million it has received from the state for job creation if it doesn't meet its workforce goal. More, The News Journal. Illinois. Commission halts People's Gas Pipeline Replacement Program. The Commerce Commission has suspended an $800 million plan to replace 250 miles of People's Gas mains over the next 3 years. WEC Energy Group purchased the parent of People's Gas in June, promising to spend $250 million annually on the pipeline replacement program. Attorney General Lisa Madigan, among others, has expressed fears about how the infrastructure program will impact rates of Chicago customers. A new pipeline replacement plan is expected to be approved by the ICC by the end of 2016. In the meantime, the company will decide how much gas main work it will perform. More, Crane Chicago Business. Indiana. Residents criticize NIPSCO rate increase. Residents turned up last week to protest NIPSCO's proposed electric rate increase at a Utility Regulatory Commission regional hearing. Hearing attendees said the utility's proposed increase in its flat monthly customer charge from $11 to $20 would punish low and fixed income ratepayers. Laura Arnold, president of the Indiana Distributed Energy Alliance, said it is unclear how the utility justified the $9 increase in the fixed monthly charge. The rate increase would generate $126.6 million in added revenue for the utility. NIPSCO's last rate increase was in 2011. Public hearings will continue into February, when the IRC will hold an evidentiary session. More, Post-Tribune. Kansas. Commission takes steps to clean power plan compliance. The Corporation Commission has taken a first step toward figuring out how the state will comply with EPA's Clean Power Plan, which forces states to reduce their carbon dioxide emissions. The state has joined several dozen others in a suit to block the regulations, but it also has taken steps toward complying with it. The legislature passed a law last session requiring the KCC to provide information about each utility's options to comply with the rules, the cost of those options, and how they would affect reliability. The three KCC commissioners approved opening a general investigation docket on December 3 and instructed staff to contract with a consultant to examine the options. The process will involve a public educational session on January 12 with staff from the Commission, the Department of Health and Environment, and the Attorney General's Office. The Commission also plans other hearings and a public comment period. More, the Topeka Capital Journal. Buckeye Wind Energy Center comes online. Governor Sam Brownback and other state and county leaders recently inaugurated the Buckeye Wind Energy Center, a 200 megawatts project northwest of Hays. The 25,000-acre wind farm, owned and operated by Invenergy, includes 112 GE 1.7 by 100 turbines. During the next 20 years, Invenergy expects to pay out $30 million to the landowners for leases and $17 million to Ellis County in lieu of taxes, said Kelly Meyer, Invenergy Vice President of Development. More, the Hays Daily News. Kentucky. Lawmaker wants tax imposed on electric cars. Bowen. A state senator wants to impose an annual $100 tax on owners of electric cars to substitute for fuel taxes to fund road maintenance and repairs. If you are using our highways, if you are using our roads out there, you ought to help pay for them, Senator Joe Bowen, a Republican, said during a December committee hearing. The Transportation Cabinet expects fuel tax collections to decline $100.4 million next year as conventional vehicles become more efficient and more electric vehicles take to the road. The National Conference of State Legislatures says that 10 states currently assess a special fee on electric car owners. Stuart Ungar, president of Evolve KY, a group of electric car enthusiasts, said the tax would discourage electric car ownership. More, WKMS. Maine. South Portland officials reject solar proposals. South Portland officials have rejected two proposals from developers seeking to build solar power farms on city properties, including a former landfill. One of the proposals came from Ameresco, and the other came from Revision Energy and Energy Systems Group. City officials said neither bid offered an appealing power purchase agreement nor addressed the city's desire to install solar arrays on 9 municipal buildings. More, Portland Press Herald. Michigan. BTE gets rate hike approval from regulators. The Public Service Commission granted a $238 million rate increase to DTE Energy that would raise the average monthly residential bill by $8.22. The increase will help the utility finance the purchase of 2 natural gas-fired electric plants to replace 2 coal-fired plants DTE plans to close in 2016. The total rate increase for residential customers is 5.3%, while commercial customers will pay 3.4% more. Industrial customers will receive a 2.4% decrease. PSC Chairman John Quackenbush said customers will benefit from a more reliable system and a cleaner environment. More, The Detroit News. Missouri. Farmers still blocking Clean Line Power Project. The state's farming community is still blocking Clean Line Energy's $2.2 billion Grain Belt Express transmission line, which has been approved in 3 other states. In July, the Public Service Commission said the project wasn't necessary and denied Clean Line Energy's application. The commission reportedly took into account the farmers' concerns about crops and pastures and difficulties steering farming equipment around towers. The 780-mile HVDC line has won approval from Kansas, Indiana, and Illinois, although opponents in Illinois are planning to appeal the approval process. Clean Line says the transmission line would deliver renewable, low-cost energy to 200,000 homes in Missouri alone and help the state comply with the federal Clean Power Plan. More, Associated Press. Independence ponders community solar farm. MC Power Companies has proposed building a 3.3 megawatts community solar farm in the city of Independence, which would be the largest in the Kansas City area. Independence Power and Light would buy the energy from MC Power at a fixed price for 25 years. IPL would have the option to buy the farm after 7 years. MC Power has a long-term lease for the land, said Loren Williamson, the company's senior vice president of project development. The City Council heard details about the proposed project December 14. The ordinance for the power purchase agreement is scheduled for a vote Monday. It would bring IPL's renewable energy production to about 13.5%, a step closer to the Council's goal of 15% by 2021. More, The Examiner. Montana. Talen's share of power plant drops 87% in market value. The market value of Talen Energy's stake in a coal plant has declined 87% over the past 2 years, according to figures provided to the Great Falls Tribune by state revenue officials. The Colstrip Steam Electric Station, partially owned by Talen Energy, has fared poorly as a merchant generator competing with cheap natural gas, according to officials. The prospects for coal versus natural gas have deteriorated, said Julian Dumoulin-Smith, a power sector analyst from UBS Securities. In 2013, Talen's stake in the Colstrip station was valued at $400 million. Today, that share is valued at $45.5 million. About 3/4 of residents in Rosebud County, where Colstrip is located, get their electricity from the plant. Diminishing revenue from the plant has prompted the county to raise taxes. More, Great Falls Tribune. New Jersey. BPU approves gas line through Pine Barrens. The Board of Public Utilities last week approved plans by South Jersey Gas to build a 22-mile natural gas line through the Pine Barrens without any further review. The decision came after the staff of the Pinelands Commission approved the project without putting it to the Commission's board. The BPU's decision raised howls of protests from environmental groups. The Pinelands Preservation Alliance called the decision deplorable and said it was a case of politics and money triumphing over Pinelands preservation and the public interest. New Jersey Sierra Club Executive Director Jeff Tittle vowed his organization would appeal. One BPU member recused himself and another was not present for the 3-0 vote. The pipeline is designed to deliver natural gas to the BL England Generating Station in Cape May County. The plant currently burns coal and fuel oil, but would be converted to gas if the pipeline is completed. More, The Philadelphia Inquirer. Lawmakers deliver votes to cut emissions, rejoin RGGI Christie. The state legislature voted on two measures to cut carbon emissions in the state, handing Governor Chris Christie an unmistakable message that it doesn't agree with his stance on global warming. The Senate cleared a bill that calls for more renewable energy generation, while the General Assembly passed a resolution that calls for the state to rejoin the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative. Both votes were largely along party lines, with all Republicans in the Assembly voting against them. Christie said RGGI was ineffective and represented a tax on utility customers. More NJ Spotlight. Assembly to BPU rethink Fisherman's Energy Project. The state legislature continued its renewable push by passing a bill that requires the Board of Public Utilities to reconsider the Fisherman's Energy offshore wind project, regardless of its cost. The bill would require the board to exempt the three-turbine project from a cost-benefit analysis. The vote is seen as another swipe at Governor Chris Christie's administration, which supported an Offshore Wind Energy Development Act 5 years ago but whose support for renewable energy has waned since. The failure of the Christie administration to adopt rules for offshore wind or hold up projects like Fisherman's Energy has cost New Jersey jobs and economic investments, said New Jersey Sierra Club director Jeff Tittle. More, Renews. New Mexico. Legislators reintroduce bipartisan solar tax credit bill. Barnes. Two state legislators, a Senate Democrat and a House Republican, are teaming up again to push a solar energy bill that last year passed the legislature with strong bipartisan support, only to be pocket-vetoed by Governor Susana Martinez. Senator Mimi Stewart and Representative Sarah Maestas Barnes have pre-filed bills that would extend the current state solar tax credits. The 10% credit for a solar installation is set to expire at the end of 2016. These bills would extend the credit through 2024. Although the legislation passed last year, Stewart said in an interview that she is afraid the bill could have a harder time getting out of the Senate Finance Committee. That is because falling oil prices mean less tax revenue for the state. More, the Santa Fe, New Mexican. Commission okays partial shutdown of San Juan plant. The Public Regulation Commission last week adopted a plan to shutter part of the coal-fired San Juan generating station, bringing to a close years of wrangling over the best way to curb pollution while limiting the effects on utility bills and the region's economy. The 4-1 vote came as environmentalists, consumer advocates, state lawmakers and lawyers for the utility that runs the San Juan plant packed a PRC hearing in Santa Fe. Under the plan, Public Service Company of New Mexico, or PNM, will be allowed to absorb excess capacity from the utilities that are divesting ownership shares in the plant. Most environmentalists and clean energy advocates had previously opposed that, but PNM agreed to a new review by regulators in 2018 to determine whether more or all of the plant should be shut down after 2022. More, Albuquerque Journal. New York. Commercial sites to expand Long Island solar. The solar industry on Long Island is turning its attention from residential installations to commercial systems. One of the island's largest commercial rooftop installations was unveiled at the Claire Rose Beverage Distribution Facility in Yaphank, a $3.5 million project that will supply more than 90% of the company's electricity and pay for itself in less than 5 years. The federal tax credit for that project will exceed $1 million. There's a flurry of activity right now in the commercial sector, said David Sheeran, chief executive of Empower Solar in Island Park, one of Long Island's largest installers. Empower expects to see a 10% shift toward the commercial sector next year, to 40% of its overall business. In recent years, fewer commercial customers have installed solar. The number of rebated commercial systems is down for the past 3 years, to just 59 as of the end of November, compared to a high of 235 in 2011. The total number of megawatts on the commercial side is increasing, however, from 4.1 megawatts in 2013 to 6.1 megawatts thus far in 2015, according to Long Island, the local utility. More, Newsday. Manufacturing plant given cheapest rate. The New York Power Authority has approved a deal to give cheap electricity to an aluminum smelter that had announced a plant closure. The deal will allow the Alcoa plant in Messina to stay open and save 600 jobs. The price of power for the plant will be cut and future changes will be tied to the price of aluminum. Authority CFO Robert Laurie said the rate cut, which runs through March 2019, would cost the authority about $12 million annually in lost revenue. Laurie said the authority would likely not find another customer for as much power as the Alcoa plant consumes, which would have to be dumped onto the wholesale power market with uncertain effects if the plant closed. Laurie said Alcoa will pay $12.25 per megawatt hours, the lowest electricity price of any NYPA commercial customer, and warned that other customers may approach the authority to request similar treatment. More, Times Union. Ohio. University completes switch to natural gas. Ohio University's on-campus power plant burned its last ton of coal on Thanksgiving Day and is now heating its buildings with natural gas, a switch that was completed 6 weeks ahead of schedule. The university had set December 31st as the deadline to switching fuels, but work on the changeover was completed early. The university will be installing two permanent natural gas-fired boilers, a project due to be completed by September 2017. The plant's two coal-fired boilers and the obsolete smokestack will be removed. The university is now getting about 20% of its overall power from the temporary gas boilers and is purchasing another 50% on the open market from renewable sources. More Athens Messenger. Pennsylvania. PUC names place to replace Vice Chairman Brown. Place. The Public Utility Commission named Commissioner Andrew G. Place as Vice Chairman, replacing John F. Coleman Jr., who will remain on the commission until his term expires in 2017. Place was nominated to the commission by Governor Tom Wolf earlier this year and confirmed by the Senate in September. He came to the commission after serving as Director for Energy and Environmental Policy at EQT Corporation. Place worked to form the Center for Sustainable Shale Development and held several positions at the State Department of Environmental Protection. More, Pennsylvania PUC Texas. Regional haze rule could cost Coleto Creek $100 million. A newly announced EPA haze rule could cost the Coleto Creek coal-fired power plant near Victoria more than $100 million. The federal agency announced December 9 its haze regulations for the state, which require it to reduce pollutants that impair visibility in national parks and wilderness areas. Coleto Creek and six other coal-fired power plants in the state will need to make expensive upgrades or retrofits under the new rule to cut sulfur dioxide emissions. Coleto Creek, which is owned by GDF Suez Energy Resources North America, has 5 years to comply with the new rule. More, Victoria Advocate. El Paso wants 67% cut in EPA rate proposal. El Paso Electric's proposed rate increase should be reduced almost $48 million, or 67% less than the utility has sought, the City of El Paso said in documents filed with the Public Utility Commission. The city is asking the PUC to reduce the utility's rate request from $71.5 million to $23.5 million, which would result in an overall rate increase of 5.5% compared to the utility's proposed 16.6% increase. The city also is asking the PUC to reject the utility's proposal to establish a special rate class for residential customers with rooftop solar systems, which would increase those customers' rates more than regular residential customers. More, El Paso Times. Carbon capture project gets important land agreement. Odessa Development Corporation voted to extend the land agreement with Summit Power Group, allowing the company to build a $2.5 billion power plant that captures and stores carbon on a 600-acre site. Summit officials signed contracts December 7 with the primary companies that will construct the Texas Clean Energy Project, which will sell power, CO2, urea, and sulfuric acid. Summit still must raise funding to build the plant, and it is targeting financial closing in spring 2016. Before the extension becomes final, Summit must also gain the approval of Grow Odessa, the nonprofit organization that initially acquired the proposed Summit site. The Odessa City Council has already approved the extension. More Odessa American. Vermont. St. Albans cow manure digester to produce power. Green Mountain Power says it will build a manure digester in St. Albans that will turn cow dung from three farms into electricity and reduce phosphorus pollution into Lake Champlain. The $8 million project, which will generate enough electricity from methane gas to power about 700 homes, will help meet about one-third of EPA's target for reducing farm phosphorus runoff into St. Albans Bay. EPA this summer set new pollution reduction goals for the state side of the lake. The digester process will remove much of the phosphorus from the manure. The fibrous byproduct from the process will be turned into animal bedding. More, Burlington Free Press. Wisconsin. Legislation proposed to end state nuclear ban. A bill that would authorize new construction of nuclear reactors in the state was introduced December 14 in both houses of the legislature. Supporters say zero-emissions nuclear energy sources are needed under the Clean Power Plan, while critics of the legislation say building nuclear plants is an expensive way to comply with the federal carbon reduction mandate. WEC Energy Group said new sources of power wouldn't be needed for at least 10 years, given the company's recent completion of new plants. Republican State Representative Kevin Peterson said during a legislative hearing that his bill simply reopens the door to technology that has advanced well beyond what it was when our state closed that door 30-plus years ago. During Governor Scott Walker's 2010 campaign, he promised to end the state's more than 30-year moratorium on erecting nuclear plants. Currently, 13% of the state's electricity supply comes from nuclear sources. More, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.